All right, so get this. We've gotten a ton of requests to look into Bible verses about Jesus, all about Jesus and power. We're
Okay.
talking ultimate power, you know?
Yeah.
So today, we are diving deep into what these verses actually say about Jesus,
Okay.
about who he is, how his power works, and what it means for us.
You know, it's interesting because
Yeah.
power can be interpreted in so many different ways. Are we talking about authority? Are we talking about control over nature or the ability to heal?
Right.
So I think it'll be interesting to kind of untangle all these threads as we look at the verses that you've shared.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know how much I love a good origin story.
Of course.
So let's start at the very beginning. I'm talking creation, the universe, everything.
Okay.
Colossians 1:16-17 describes Jesus as the one through whom all things were created.
Wow.
All things visible and invisible were made through him and for him.
That's
I
amazing.
mean, whoa.
It's a pretty mind-blowing concept, right? This passage suggests that Jesus's power isn't just about creating things in the first place, but it's the force that holds everything together even now.
Right.
Think about the sheer scale of the universe.
Yeah.
All those stars, galaxies.
It's incredible.
And it's all sustained by Jesus, according to this verse.
It's almost too big to wrap your head around.
I know.
But so what does that mean for us, you know, here on Earth?
Well, if we take this idea seriously, it suggests that we're all connected to this incredible source of power,
Okay.
this creative energy that flows through everything.
Yeah.
It changes how we see the world around us, doesn't it?
Right.
Even the smallest things become imbued with a sense of wonder and significance.
It definitely gives a whole new meaning to stop and smell the roses, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got this vast cosmic power at play.
Right.
But how does that translate into the kind of authority we normally associate with Jesus?
Sure.
You know, the King of Kings kind of thing.
That's where verses like Matthew 28:18 come into play. This is where Jesus declares, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me."
Wow.
It's a bold statement, a claim to ultimate power and dominion over everything.
It's like the ultimate power move.
It
But
is.
how does that square with the idea of Jesus as this humble servant, the one who washed his disciples' feet?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it gets to the heart of what makes Jesus so unique.
Okay.
His authority doesn't come from force or coercion.
Right.
It comes from a place of love and self-sacrifice. And that's where Philippians 2:9-11 comes in.
Okay.
It talks about how Jesus, though being God, didn't cling to his divine power, but humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death.
So even though he possesses this ultimate authority,
Yes.
he chooses to use it in a way that is selfless and ultimately for the good of others.
Exactly. And this passage goes on to say that because of this obedience, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. It's a powerful image of universal recognition of Jesus's lordship.
So it's not just about power, it's about who wields it.
Absolutely.
And for what purpose?
Yes. And that brings us to another fascinating aspect of Jesus's power.
Okay.
His dominion over nature.
Oh, yeah.
You sent us a few verses about this, right?
Oh, yeah. Like Mark 4:39, where
Right.
Jesus calms the storm at sea.
Yeah.
It's such a vivid scene.
Yeah.
You know, the disciples terrified, the waves crashing, and then Jesus just speaks and the storm stops.
You know, that story resonates with people, even if they aren't particularly religious.
I think so
I
too.
mean, who hasn't felt overwhelmed by the storms of life?
That's true.
Right? It speaks to our deep desire for peace and stability in the midst of chaos.
Definitely. And for the disciples, seeing Jesus calm the storm must have been just a moment of pure awe. Like, okay, this guy's really something else.
Absolutely. And you
Yeah.
know, in the Bible, storms are often symbolic of chaos and adversity. So Jesus calming the storm can be seen as a metaphor for his ability to bring peace and order into our lives, even in the midst of our own personal struggles.
So it's not just about controlling the weather.
Yeah.
It's about finding that inner peace and strength
Yes.
that allows us to weather any storm.
I love that.
And let's not forget about Jesus walking on water in Matthew 14:25.
Right.
It's another example of his power over the natural world, defying the laws of physics as we know them.
Talk about making a splash.
I know.
But seriously, walking on water, that's next level power.
It is.
What's the deeper meaning there?
Well, think about what it would have been like to witness that.
Oh my gosh.
It would have been utterly bewildering, a complete suspension of our understanding of how the world works.
Right.
It points to the idea that with Jesus, the impossible becomes possible.
Wow.
It challenges us to expand our understanding of what's possible, not just in the physical world, but in our own lives as well. So maybe it's an invitation to step out in faith even when things seem impossible, trusting that there's a power greater than ourselves at work.
I think so. And that's a perfect segue into another dimension of Jesus's power, his ability to heal.
Right.
We see this throughout the Gospels, right?
Oh, yeah. Stories of Jesus healing the sick are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Acts 3:6-7, where Peter heals a lame man in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
It's a powerful demonstration of how that power can work through his followers as well.
Absolutely. And notice how the healing happens specifically through invoking the name of Jesus.
Okay.
It highlights the idea that Jesus's power isn't just something he possessed personally. It's a force that can be accessed through faith and belief.
So, okay, we've got creation authority over everything, dominion over nature and healing power. Is there anything this guy can't do?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and one we'll explore further in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
But before we do, let's take a moment to consider one final aspect of Jesus's power.
All right.
The power over death.
Ooh. Okay, this is where things get really intense.
Right.
I'm thinking about the story of Lazarus in John 11:43-44.
Yes.
Jesus calls out to Lazarus, who's been dead for days, and he walks out of the tomb. It's like something out of a movie.
It's a powerful image of resurrection, and it would have been absolutely astonishing to witness.
Oh, my gosh.
For the people present, it would have been undeniable proof of Jesus' authority over death itself.
Talk about a plot twist, but what does it mean for us today?
Right.
We're not raising people from the dead.
It speaks to the ultimate hope that Jesus offers, the hope of life beyond death. The promise of resurrection. It reminds us that even in the face of death, there's a power greater than ourselves at work, a power that can overcome even the finality of the grave.
Wow, that's a lot to process. So to recap, we've seen that Jesus' power is multifaceted and awe-inspiring. It's about creation authority, dominion over nature, healing, and even conquering death.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
I know, right?
In the next part of our deep dive, we'll continue to explore the nature of Jesus's power, delving into some of the more complex and thought-provoking aspects of this topic.
Can't wait.
But for now, what stands out to you in these verses? Which aspects of Jesus's power resonate most strongly?
That's a great question. It's clear from these verses that Jesus's power is unlike anything we see in the world today. It's not about control or domination. It's a force that creates, heals, and ultimately offers hope. Join us next time as we continue to explore the depths of this fascinating topic.
That's good.
Okay, so last time we were talking about all these incredible displays of Jesus's power, creation, authority, healing, even raising the dead. It's pretty mind-blowing stuff. But you know what I've been wondering about?
What's that?
If Jesus has all this power, why does there seem to be so much suffering in the world?
Right.
Seems like a bit of a contradiction, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's a question that has troubled theologians and philosophers for centuries. If God is all-powerful and all-loving, why is there pain and suffering? It's a tough one, for sure. But I think exploring the nature of Jesus' power can give us some insights.
Okay, I'm all ears. How does Jesus' power relate to the problem of suffering?
Well, it's interesting to note that Jesus doesn't use his power to eliminate suffering altogether. In fact, he embraces it. Think about the crucifixion. It's the central event in Christianity, but it's also the ultimate act of self-sacrifice.
You're saying that God, in human form, willingly chose to suffer and die. That's a pretty hard concept to grasp.
It is, but it's at the heart of the Christian understanding of redemption. Redemption means being saved from sin and its consequences, and in Christianity, that salvation comes through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross.
So in a way, suffering becomes a pathway to something greater, a way to experience God's love and grace.
Exactly. And this idea is echoed in Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus emptying himself, taking the form of a servant, and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
So even though he had the power to avoid suffering, he chose not to. He chose a path of humility and service, even though it led to pain and ultimately death.
It's a radical concept, especially in a world that often equates power with dominance and control. Jesus flips that whole idea on its head.
It's like he's saying true power isn't about forcing your will on others, but about using your strength to lift others up, even if it means sacrificing yourself in the process.
Beautifully put. And you know, this theme of choosing love over power is woven throughout the Gospels. Think about how Jesus responds to those who challenge him. He doesn't strike them down with lightning bolts. He engages them in dialogue, using wisdom and compassion to try to reach their hearts.
Right, like when he's being questioned by the Pharisees, those religious leaders who are always trying to trap him, he doesn't get defensive or angry. He uses stories and parables to challenge their assumptions and invite them to see things from a different perspective.
Exactly. He models a different way of being powerful, a power that comes not from brute force, but from love and truth.
Okay, so this whole idea of power through love is really starting to click for me. But it's still hard to reconcile that with the idea of Jesus as the ultimate authority, the one who has dominion over everything. How do those two ideas fit together?
It's a good question, and I think it's important to remember that the Bible isn't just a book of rules or doctrines. It's a collection of stories and poems and teachings that reflect a wide range of human experiences and perspectives.
So we shouldn't expect it to be perfectly consistent or easy to understand.
Exactly. There's room for mystery and ambiguity.
Yeah.
And when it comes to understanding Jesus's power, I think it's helpful to see those seemingly contradictory aspects, his authority and his humility, his power, and his willingness to suffer as different facets of the same divine reality.
So it's not about picking one side or the other, but about holding both in tension, recognizing the complexity and richness of who Jesus is.
I like that it's about embracing the paradox, the mystery, because ultimately I think that's where true faith resides, in that space where we acknowledge that we don't have all the answers, where we're willing to sit with the questions and allow our understanding of God to grow and deepen over time.
That's a great reminder.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in trying to have everything figured out, but sometimes the most profound truths are found in the things we don't really understand.
And speaking of things we don't fully understand, there's one more aspect of Jesus's power that we need to address.
Ooh, lay it on me. What's this final mystery we're going to unravel?
It's the question of how Jesus's power continues to operate in the world today, long after his earthly ministry. How does his power manifest in the lives of believers? How does it shape history? And what does it mean for our understanding of God's ongoing presence in the world?
Those are some pretty big questions, and ones that I think we'll need a little more time to unpack. But for now, I'm really starting to grasp this idea that power, in the truest sense, isn't about control or dominance, but about love, service, and sacrifice.
And that's a powerful truth to carry with us as we continue to explore this fascinating topic. Join us next time as we delve into the ways in which Jesus's power continues to resonate throughout history and in our lives today.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
You know, we've been on quite a journey.
We have.
Exploring the power of Jesus, from his authority as creator to his dominion over nature.
Right.
And these incredible acts of healing. But maybe the most intriguing question of all,
yeah,
is how does that power resonate today, long after his time on earth?
It's a question that moves us beyond the historical accounts of Jesus's life and into the realm of personal experience and faith. We're no longer just examining what he did, but how his power might be at work in the world and in our lives right now.
Okay, so how do we even begin to grasp that? Are we talking about like present day miracles?
Miracles definitely still happen, and those stories are powerful, but I think the more common experience of Jesus's power today is a bit more subtle. Think about those moments when you feel guided or supported during a difficult time, almost like there's an unseen hand helping you through.
You mean like those times when you just know you've made the right decision, even though you can't explain why, or when you feel a sense of peace amidst chaos, like something's holding you steady?
Exactly. Those moments might not make headlines, but they're incredibly powerful for those who experience them. They point to a dimension of reality that goes beyond our everyday understanding of cause and effect.
It makes me think of that verse in Hebrews we talked about. Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power.
Mm.
Maybe that upholding isn't just about stars and planets, but about a spiritual sustenance we receive when we connect with him. It's like he's holding us together too.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And this idea connects to another way. Jesus's power is still at work through the actions of his followers. Remember how we talked about Peter healing the lame man by invoking Jesus's name?
Right, the idea that Jesus's power can be channeled through those who believe.
And that doesn't just apply to healing. Think about all the acts of compassion and justice carried out in Jesus's name. People building hospitals, feeding the hungry, fighting for equality. They're all expressions of his power flowing through human actions.
It's like a ripple effect.
Hmm.
His love and compassion inspire others to do good in the world, and those actions ripple outward, creating a more just and loving world.
Precisely. Even seemingly small acts of kindness can be part of that ripple effect, contributing to the bigger picture of God's work in the world.
So it's not just about feeling Jesus' presence in our own lives, but about letting that power flow through us to touch the lives of others.
No, you're getting it. It's about becoming conduits of that love and compassion, allowing ourselves to be used as instruments of healing and reconciliation.
That's a pretty tall order. Mm. How do we even begin to do that?
I think it starts with simply being open to the possibility that Jesus' power is still active in the world today. It's about paying attention to those subtle nudges, those moments of grace and guidance that we might otherwise miss.
So it's about being more aware, more attuned to the ways in which his power might be showing up in our everyday lives.
And then it's about asking ourselves, how can I be a vessel for that power? What can I do, even in a small way, to bring more love and compassion into the world?
It's a challenge, for sure. But it's also an incredibly hopeful idea that we can each play a part in making the world a better place, inspired by the power of Jesus' example.
And remember, you don't have to do it alone. You're part of a community of believers who are all striving to live out that love and compassion in their own unique ways.
That's a great point. We're all in this together, each contributing our own little ripple to the ever-expanding wave of God's love in the world.
Well said. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I hope you'll continue to reflect on these ideas to explore the ways in which Jesus' power might be at work in your life and in the world around you.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the power of Jesus. It's been a really thought-provoking conversation, and we hope you'll take these ideas with you as you go about your day.